I've always grown up in a Christian home. My parents taught me the Bible since I was a young child. As far back as I can remember, I've attended church week in and week out. However, even though I knew deep down that God existed, I had a hard heart that loved sin. I heard the gospel every week and how I needed to ask Jesus to save me from my sin. However, I figured I had my whole life ahead of me to become a Christian. I remember thinking in grade school that I would wait till I got to high school. Then in high school, that I would wait till I got to university. The problem was that life was going good, and I didn't think I needed God right now. I presumed that since I was still young, I had lots of time. This was my way of justifying not coming to Christ. I remember feeling convicted many a Sunday when Pastor Vallade would do his exhortation to the non-Christians about how they were dead in their sins and would go to hell if they died on the way home. I knew there was lots of young people who died early, but figured I would take my chances that I wouldn't be one of them. So rather than put my trust in Christ, I put my trust in the things of the world. After I graduated university, I got a well-paying job in the States, met a very nice girl, and much to my parents' delight, finally moved out of their house and into a nice apartment in Windsor. Life was going good, and I was having fun living in my sin. In June of 2009, I lost my job, and the girlfriend not too much longer after that. However, I believe God, in a way, used that to help me realize that I couldn't put my trust in those things. It was not long after that, a little over 2 years ago, after a sermon around New Year's about how little time we have left here on earth, that I started to realize how short life is and that I really didn't have much time left. James 4:14 states, "Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while, then vanishes away." I started to read a book called The Cross-Centered Life by C.J. Mahaney that a friend in the church had given me. That book really spoke to me about my need for a Savior, even though there was nothing new I hadn't heard before. It was after I'd read one of those chapters that I earnestly prayed to Jesus, asking him to forgive me from my sins and to save me from them. I wasn't sure what would happen after that. While I did feel a sense of relief and happiness after taking that first step, it took some time before I could really see change in my life and openly identify with Christ. But since that moment, God has been slowly working in my life, showing me my sin and drawing me closer to himself. Paul says in Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." I stand before you today as one of those sinners who can with full assurance testify that Christ has died for me and for my sins.
I mentioned a little bit ago that those who are being baptized, I allow them to choose a particular hymn that they want sung. I also allow them to choose who is going to pray for them, commit them to the Lord at their baptism. And Nathan has chosen his father, so I'm going to ask Alan if he would come before us to lead us in a word of prayer.
Nathan asked me to pray last week. He had three choices. I thought he had Uncle Gordy, who was sick with pneumonia, my brother Kenneth, who's now in China. So I've been selected, and I would like to just say one or two thoughts before I pray. One is that I think many of us would admit we do not pray enough for each other. We do not pray enough for the salvation of others. We do not pray enough, I think we would confess, for the salvation of our own children. But God is gracious. And beyond our feeble hopes and beyond our feeble expectations, he gives us what we do not deserve, and he answers our prayers. And I think when we get to heaven, we'll all have a greater understanding of what prayer does, what prayer has done on this earth, and what has accomplished it. On that thought, I would like to give thanks to this church, to the godly members of this church for praying for Nathan, to my family members, and to those outside the church who have prayed for our four boys and for Nathan. I cannot help but think of and to mention Mrs. Dallimore, a woman of prayer, a godly woman who promised my wife 6 years ago that she would pray for each of our boys for every day until she passes away. And I believe today is wonderful evidence of how God hears and answers prayers of his faithful servants. With those thoughts, I'd like to pray. God, you tell us in your word that your salvation, it does not depend on human will or human effort, but on you who shows mercy. Our works, as we've heard today, cannot save us. It is faith that you give to us freely as a gift. And for those that you have given to that gift, you've chosen us from the foundations of the earth. And Father, this day we witness your mercy upon Nathan. How we would thank you that in your mercies have extended beyond human efforts, beyond human intellect, and beyond human will. You have found a lost sheep who for many years did not hear, he did not recognize your voice. But in your great mercy and your loving kindness, you have given Nathan eyes to hear, eyes to see and ears to hear his shepherd. And Father, we would pray for Nathan that the seed that you've planted in his fertile ground would grow, that it would bear much fruit, the roots would flourish and grow deep, such that during the trials and storms of life, Nathan would be strong and firm and not waver to and fro. We would pray that Nathan would grow and mature in the faith, that he would present his body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you. May he not be conformed to this world, but indeed, as your word says, be transformed, be renewed in his mind by the reading and obeying of your word. And Father, we would thank you for this church. We would pray for him. We as a church would pray that we would support him, that we would encourage him, that we would help him run the life, the Christian race, and that we would run alongside him, Father, encourage him in that race. And may he continually fix his eyes upon his Savior, the author and finisher of his faith. Amen.
Nathan, are you trusting in the Lord Jesus alone for your Savior and the hope of the Lord? And in obedience to the Lord's command and upon the profession of your faith, I now baptize you into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Take your hymnals, please, and go to church again.